I am Plant on the Line in Vancouver at thecommentary.ca. The Best of Bridge has a new book out, another one of those great recipe collections, Weekday Suppers. There are 175 all-new simple recipes that will have you cooking gourmet every night of a week, all easy, all timely, and all delicious if you see the resulting photographs. A lot of us order in or eat out because we haven't got the time or inclination to cook. This book disabuses us of that notion that it does take a lot of time to whip something up. Both the authors of the book, Emily Richards and Sylvia Kong, new to the Best of Bridge, suggest we can simplify a lot of the methods, like using a sheet pan or a pressure cooker, or doing some dishes in one pot. I'll get Ms. Richards, who joins me now, to tell us about what we can do, perhaps even tonight. Emily Richards is a cookbook author, home economist, recipe developer, television host, brand ambassador, and blogger. She lives in Guelph, but she joined me from here in Vancouver last week. Visit bestofbridge.com. This new book is published by Robert Rose. Please welcome to the Plant Online program, Emily Richards. Ms. Richards, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
So we're talking a few days after Thanksgiving. A lot of us have leftovers, whether it be turkey or ham. What do you suggest people do with that stuff? I mean, do you think making dishes and then freezing it is the good thing, or is freezing the actual meat, say, the ideal thing?
Oh, I think it's a great thing when you have leftovers, especially with turkey and ham. Those are two proteins that are super versatile, and whether you tuck them into the freezer for, you know, a soup or a stew later, or even a pasta dish, there's so many alternatives that you can use those leftovers for. You can also include them in a casserole. So if, you know, you don't want to just tuck away the protein, whether it's turkey or ham, in the freezer, you can also build a casserole. So one my mother-in-law was kind of famous for was putting the cooked turkey with kind of all the rest of the leftovers, a little bit of stuffing, mashed potatoes, and cranberry sauce, and then you pulled it out, you know, in a few weeks you have a whole other meal, and it's kind of like having Thanksgiving all over again.
Yeah. So you and Sylvia, you're new to Best of Bridge. These books have meant a great deal to a lot of people growing up, and I'm sure people tell you this across the country, don't they?
It is, definitely. I mean, both Sylvia and I were honored to kind of be a part of Best of Bridge. It's an iconic Canadian series, and to know that it's been in the homes of so many Canadians for 40 years, it's amazing. And to kind of keep that tradition, to get people cooking for their families, for their friends, and putting delicious recipes on the table.
So what's it like developing recipes for this book? I guess the fact that it is for the weekday and it's for supper, I mean, that factors into it because we lead such busy lives. We tend to think we don't have time. And so I was reading through the recipes in this book. I mean, with very little time, you can have a good meal, can't you?
Oh, definitely. And I think, you know, taking into consideration, both Sylvia and I have families. We both work. We have busy lives. So, you know, it's helpful for us, too, in our lives. So knowing that it helps people in that same category. And we really look to the grocery store for that. So going into a grocery store, being able to find the ingredients easily and going home and putting together a fabulous meal. Oftentimes, you know, people will think of ordering takeout or picking something up.
Yeah.
But in that same amount of time, you can put together a delicious meal at home.
And it's cheaper than takeout, isn't it?
It is, definitely. I mean, the biggest problem that a lot of people have is not having the food at home.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the part that for many is very difficult, that plan ahead stage. So if you have the book at home, you can, you know, leaf through weekday suppers, make your grocery list, and then have those ingredients in your pantry, your fridge, your freezer, so that you know what you're making for the week or even possibly 2 weeks.
Yeah.
The book itself, because it's that binder format, is fabulous. I know I leave my copy on the kitchen counter and, you know, the kids leaf through it and they think, hey, we should have this for dinner, and, you know, make the grocery list, and then we have it. And I actually get them to get involved and do some cooking, too, because it really helps me out.
Yeah, and then you don't have to worry about people saying they don't want this or they don't like this once it's made, right?
That's right. That can be very troublesome.
Well, what are some of the staples that one would need, say, in their pantry or in their freezer? That way, when you get home, And you're strapped for time, it's on the ready, and you know, you can make some of the great stuff that's in this book.
And I think that's key, definitely having those pantry staples. And it really depends on your family. So if you know that you're the family that's never going to have shrimp, then that's probably not something you want to keep in the freezer. But I know when it goes on sale, my sons love shrimp, so I keep a couple bags when they're on sale, keep them in the freezer so that I can pull them out later on. But things like pasta is a fabulous meal. And then having things that are kind of just great pantry staples like potatoes, all your onions and garlic, canned tomatoes. We also include a few things that, you know, you might not have in the pantry, but you might look to, like roasted red peppers or pesto sauce, those things that kind of can jazz up your meal and not make you feel like you're having something ho-hum.
Yeah, and nothing the same every night as well.
That's right. Well, yeah. And I don't know about you, but I love having eggs. I mean, to me, that's something that can make a very quick meal.
Yeah.
You know, whether it's in a sandwich or I like to, you know, whisk up some eggs and stir it into a soup. Just to add that little bit of extra protein, too, is fabulous.
Yeah, like something for dinner, like a frittata, for example. That's a good dinner idea that you know, we tend to think it's, well, it's either breakfast or lunch. But if you want that for dinner, you can. And you can add something to make it, you know, a little more hearty, if you will.
Definitely. And we actually have a recipe in there for, it's kind of one of my favorites, is the spaghetti and bacon frittata. So you have leftover spaghetti, whether it's plain with butter or even with tomato sauce.
Right.
And you add your eggs. You can put a little bit of ricotta cheese in there. And if you don't have bacon, you could be vegetarian. Or you could add that leftover ham that you're going to pull out of the freezer and put that in the frittata. It's a wonderful meal.
The other thing that struck me about reading the book and the recipes in it, there are a lot of recipes that are, you know, like, I'm a guy, so I don't like cleaning up after myself afterwards. And so, you know, you use the sheet pan, you use, you know, one pot for something.
Yes.
And so I guess, I mean, with very, very little preparation, I mean, you can have something great at the end of the day. By the way, pressure cookers. I haven't got one. What are some of the things I need to think about before getting one, say, in my kitchen?
Well, a lot of people are looking to small appliances for help, and, you know, the Instant Pot, those one pot, kind of all everything cookers are really something that people are pulling towards. So if you already have a slow cooker and a pressure cooker, I'm not saying you don't need to get the all-in-one, but you already kind of have those elements. But if you don't have a slow cooker or a rice steamer, those types of things, definitely I would say, you know, encourage people to get it, because you can then have that versatility in one small appliance. And it really does cut down the cooking time for you. So that's really easy to have in the kitchen. And we do have some recipes for, you know, that fit that bill, whether it's a pressure cooker or a slow cooker. And, you know, a lot of people rely on those appliances, and to get dinner on the table, it's a great method to use.
I didn't really count as I was reading the book, but I guess a lot of these meals, they can be done in about an hour or less. Is that right?
Yes, definitely. We wanted to make sure that, you know, there wasn't a lot of prep time as well as cook time. So we're looking at, I'll make reference to one recipe that we call it a stew, but it's a one-pot meal, super easy. And oftentimes you don't think, a stew, why would I make that during the week? It's going to take me a couple of hours. But by using, it's the beef and gnocchi stew. So by using a sirloin steak, which is a nice grilling cut of meat, you don't have to, it doesn't take long to cook. So you've already reduced the cooking time, but you're still going to get that stew-like texture and flavor because you finish it off with the gnocchi, which helps kick it, thicken the stew sauce.
Uh-huh.
So you have stew in like 20 minutes, which is, I think, is fabulous.
There are also a number of vegetarian and meat-free recipes, and I have to say, looking at the pictures as well as reading the recipes themselves, I mean, they look pretty good. Do they taste good?
They do, and I think, you know, we look at vegetarianism as something that's being very on trend, and a lot of people are looking to have those meat-free meals, or, you know, they have a family member or friends that are coming over, and, you know, they're vegetarian. What do I cook? So a lot of these recipes are perfect for that because they're going to make you feel full and not necessarily think, oh, you know, where's that steak? Because it's nice for all of us to have those options of vegetarian meals.
Now, depending on where you are in this country, grilling outside may not be something you can do now or in the next few weeks. But you've got a recipe in the book for the grilled portobello mushroom and roasted red pepper sandwich. And what struck me as I was reading that, you can do that indoors, isn't it?
Yes, can't you? Definitely. Yeah. And, I mean, you can use a grill pan. There's a lot of people that have grill pans, but you could also just do it in a skillet or pop it into the oven. And I actually double up on that recipe so that I have extra portobellos that are ready to go, and I can just, you know, pop it into a bun for lunch the next day, or, you know, if you want to save it for even a vegetable for another meal, it's fabulous.
Yeah, you know, and I guess portobello mushrooms, we a lot of us enjoy mushrooms, but, I mean, if you have enough, I mean, it's a good alternative to, say, to meat. If you're one of those folks that have, you know, meatless Mondays at your house,
that's right.
That's something, you know, worth.
And with that sandwich, the addition of the hummus in there helps bump up the protein as well. So that's kind of nice. And then you can change the flavor if you're, you know, a plain hummus lover, a roasted red pepper, whatever you like. So it's nice to have that switch up.
Yeah, you have a recipe in the book for chicken burgers, and I'm not familiar with this. Harissa, is that how you pronounce it?
Yes, harissa paste. Yes.
What does that taste like?
It's got a little bit of heat to it. It's a combination of peppers, sweet and hot, and then it usually has some cumin or coriander seeds in it. So it's a Moroccan flavor. So it's very vibrant. Now it's one of those things that most grocery stores, if not all, have that international aisle. Uh-huh. So, you know, kind of taking advantage of that. And as you start to see these lovely spice mixes, it's kind of like I put it in the same category as a jerk paste or a jerk seasoning.
Yeah.
So it has all those mixtures of herbs and spices that really take something kind of, you know, bland and bumps it up tremendously. And can make a really, really quick meal. So, you know, we like to kind of, we played a little bit and brought in some international flavors because, you know, that as a country, we definitely represent that. So, you know, it's a great place to taste different flavors at the dinner table.
And speaking of international flavors, something that a lot of people like, and I kind of miss, there used to be a pho place around the corner. That's gone now.
Oh, right.
And so in the book, there's a recipe in there that I can make it myself, right?
Yes, definitely. And we've taken, you know, that liberty to speed it up a little bit and kind of give you that traditional flavor, but on a slightly quicker scale. So that doesn't mean you can't still go out and enjoy a bowl every now and again. But if you don't want to put dinner on the table, it's a little bit easier to, you know, have all the broth and all the noodles at home. And get ready to go and serve everyone.
You had to buy noodles a couple weeks ago, and I noticed, yeah, you can get a variety of noodles, let's say if you want to make something Asian, and relatively inexpensive, right?
Yes, definitely. So you can, I actually had a friend, and she said, you know, she could easily feed a family of 12 with, you know, the amount she was spending to go out and have soups and whether it was ramen or pho or anything like that. So, you know, she was very happy to be able to produce it at home and save herself some money.
Yeah. And then noodles is a good thing to keep on stock, just like pasta you mentioned a moment ago, right?
Yes. And it's nice to have different versions of noodles, whether they're rice or corn or, you know, wheat-based. It's nice to have those options.
Yeah. The other thing, you can have full courses, a full course meal, say, multiple courses, at dinner on a weeknight, because some of the desserts in the book, or most of the desserts, all the desserts in the book, can be done rather quickly. And in particular, the chocolate ginger snap cookies, for example. I mean, we tend to think that
you picked one of my favorites.
Yeah, we tend to think that baking takes a lot of time, but I mean, I was reading that, and you know, you can do that as well as say a main course, in that hour, can't you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, especially if you're putting, let's say, one of the pots on, or let's say you use the slow cooker in the morning and it just needs to finish off as you get home from work. Very quickly, you could put together some cookies, or another great one is the banana toffee snacking cake, which is fabulous because you could have it out of the oven warm after dinner, or if you want to save it for, you know, a little bit later in the evening. But it's nice because then you have enough to tuck into lunches or, you know, have snacks. If you need a mid-morning break at the office, it's always fabulous to have those on hand.
And there are things that I mean, if we are really strapped for time, things that we can do, say, the night before or especially on the weekend? I mean, that's something that you encourage people to do on the weekend to prepare, you know, slicing some of the things,
yes, freezing definitely. It. So whether yeah. it's, you know, preparing some vegetables or anything like that. And also looking for leftovers. I know we talked about turkey and ham. There's great ways. One of our cover recipes, the curried turkey pot pie, that's a great place to start.
Yeah.
You can chop up your, you know, cooked turkey and make the filling, leave it in the fridge, and then when you come home the next night, put the puff pastry on, pop it in the oven, and all you have to do is make a salad, and dinner's done.
Do you and Sylvia write the funny captions at the bottom of some of the recipes there that we see throughout the book?
We did. We actually had lots of fun. We had way more than we needed. So, you know, we're going to save them for another book. But I took upon some of my Italian heritage and looked to the nonnas for some of the Italian proverbs. But
yeah.
Definitely, yeah, we had a lot of fun. And, you know, we asked our kids, too, because they always have some good jokes on hand.
Yeah. The thing about spices, because we talked about international flavors a moment ago, I mean, keeping your pantry stocked with spices, I mean, we tend to think that might be expensive, but if you shop carefully, you can have nearly all the spices you need in your cupboard.
Oh, for sure, definitely. And if you are looking, you know, to kind of expand your spice cupboard, the best place to do that is at a bulk store where you can buy a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, it's fresh. The turnover's great. You can always talk to them at the store and say, you know, I really want to try smoked paprika, but, you know, I don't know what to do with it. And you can look in cookbooks and online for lots of great ideas. But you don't have to commit to a whole jar of something because you might not feel comfortable with the flavor or how to use it. So I always recommend, you know, starting small. And then, you know, making that commitment. And it's an easy way to expand your spice cupboard without a lot of money being spent.
You can learn a lot from other people in terms of what they do in the kitchen. And I'm curious to know, do you use a cast iron pan in your kitchen, say?
Oh, I love my cast. I actually have two.
Yeah.
And I love using them. I think they're fabulous. I love how they retain the heat. And the added bonus of getting a little bit of iron in my food naturally through the cast iron.
What?
But it's great. It always looks good when you bring it to the table. And it keeps food warm, which is, I think, you know, the added bonus.
Yeah, that's a great pan to use for one of these one pan things in terms of
sure.
You only have to use one thing. How do you clean it?
What I usually do is once I'm done with it, I run hot water on, like, in it.
Uh-huh.
And then if there's anything that's stuck, I use a little bit of salt and a brush
yeah.
and give it a scrub. And then I always put it back on the stove or in the oven to dry it, just to make sure that it's completely dry. And that's helped prevent kind of that. A lot of people complain about the rust in their cast iron skillets and things like that. So I find if it's dried really well,
yeah.
that helps prevent that too. And then, you know, using a little bit of oil, you know, before you start to cook with it so that it heats up with it, and then you'll start to see how you're seasoning it. And it does take a little bit of time. I know some people get frustrated, but
yeah.
definitely commit to it because it's well worth it.
Yeah, and do you season it regularly, say, where you have to put it in the oven with greased, and then you put it at a high heat for a long time, say?
Yes. When I start to notice that, you know, things are sticking, I definitely take the time to re-season it.
Yeah.
But so far, knock on wood, the two that I have, I've been using them enough that they seem to be okay.
Yeah. It's been fun talking to you. This is as usual. I mean, I've had a number of the ladies on from Best of Bridge over the years. This is another great collection and one that I'm going to find useful. I already found it useful. I tried the meatball recipe. I didn't have lamb on hand, but I tried it with beef, and
oh,
it turned out very, very well. And it was as the message of the book, I guess. It was easy, and it was it didn't take a long time to do. So I'm looking forward to cooking more. Best of luck to you and Sylvia as you continue, and thanks for your time today.
Thank you so much. It was fabulous, and I hope that you have many more great weekday suppers.
Indeed. The book is called Best of Bridge Weekday Suppers. It's published by Robert Rose, one of its authors, Emily Richards. Join me on the line from here in Vancouver. I'm Joseph Plato.